The thread began, back when time did, growing and stretching toward the perfection to come. A story so beautiful, so complex. It required artistry, carving, casting, and shaping by the ultimate creator. He chose a people, drew them in, drew them out, crafted them into a nation that would bear his name. Then, through sacrifice, he grafted more in. He was creating a masterpiece, a bride fit for his son, perfectly woven, sculpted, and formed, with every part working in together in perfect harmony. A body of believers, living out gratitude, set on obedience, anchored in faith, held together by unity, living out humility, and armed with authority, a multifaceted community, prepared ultimately for eternity. Held together by the same thread he began weaving before time. Threading them together, moving them into place, binding them together by love.
Hey everybody, great to be with you today. It's a rather stormy day in Melbourne as I bring you this message, but I think that's fairly appropriate actually. I'm going to be bringing a message that kind of speaks into the sort of prayer that people need in the stormy season of their life. We're in Ephesians chapter 3 today, and at the back half of Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul prays for the people. And so today, as we're going to have a look at this prayer, I actually am not going to seek to encourage you to be better at praying. I'm not even going to be encouraging you to try to have an academic knowledge of what he's speaking about here. Really, where we're going with this prayer today, I want you to receive this prayer. I do want you to understand that, of course, we're going to break it open. But let's, as we look at it, allow this prayer to be a prayer for you. Because ultimately, this prayer is a prayer for people. Now, if you've got your Bible there in Ephesians chapter 3, let me just quickly demonstrate how much this is a prayer for people. Right out of the text, he says that God will empower you by his Holy Spirit, that Jesus will make his home in your heart, that your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong, that you may have power to understand, that you may experience the love of Christ, then you will be made complete. So it's a prayer all about people. The prayer we're going to look at today is also a prayer about power. Again, just coming straight out of the text before we break it down. He says in verse 16 that he will empower you with inner strength through the Holy Spirit. In verse 18, that you may have the power to understand. In verse 19, then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So it's a prayer for people that they will know power, but also it's a prayer for the people about love, because the passage says that in verse 17, that your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. In verse 18, that you may have the power to understand with all God's people how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. But it's also a prayer for people to have an experience of God. That's in verse 19, that you may experience the love of Christ. It's too great to fully understand, he says. So let's have a look into this passage and allow, as the Apostle Paul penned this prayer for the Ephesian Christians, well, allow it to be him penning a prayer that he prays over you this day. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. He says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting for me that he begins his prayer with them, and he begins his prayer for them, by praying that they will know inner strength from the Holy Spirit. He says, from God's glorious unlimited resources, you will know an inner strength from his Holy Spirit. Now, it's a really classic time right now where you and I need to know what it is to experience inner strength from God. We need to know what it is to have strength not to give up. We need to know what it is to have strength not to give in either. I reckon the natural flow right now is to give in. And I've had to catch myself. I've had to catch, I've felt as frustrated as anyone with this season. Like, this has been the most extraordinary year to seek to provide leadership for Crossway. I've been a pastor for over 30 years. I've never known a year like this year. And so I've needed to know inner strength, certainly not to give up, but inner strength not to give in either, not to give in to a certain way of thinking, not to give in to a sense of hopelessness, not to give in to, oh, you know, kind of what we can do. And the Holy Spirit has kind of caught me and challenged me. Like, strength to persevere. Both persevere in a sense of how long I'm going to do this for, and also strength to persevere with the weight of what God is putting upon us. Strength to do according to God's will. So, like, inner strength to control our thought patterns. So the Apostle Paul, as he prays for them, he begins that from God's glorious riches, from this incredible capacity in God, that the people will know inner strength from the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on to say in verse 17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Now, I find it really fascinating that he's writing to Christian people and he's praying for them to know inner strength. And then he says, and then, it's like a byproduct, then Christ will make his home in your hearts. Now, Jesus has already spoken. The scriptures speak about God coming to the hearts of the Christian person. Now, Jesus said it quite succinctly in John 14:23, where he said, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. So it's a promise that God is going to come and make his home, that Christ would make his home in our hearts, the indwelling Christ through the person of the Holy Spirit. So what's the Apostle Paul speaking about here? Like, he's praying that we can know this inner strength so that Christ will make his home in our heart. Well, I actually think what he's speaking of here is to do with the renovation of the heart. It's to do with the Holy Spirit preparing an appropriate dwelling place for Christ. Then Christ will make his home in your heart. Now, we all love a good renovation show. The Block is on right now, if you're someone who watches that. But there's just a myriad of shows where people take a broken down house and they renovate it. Well, that's a little bit of a metaphor of what the Holy Spirit does inside our own hearts. When the Holy Spirit comes to us, and he comes to us just as we are. Like, really, with the Lord, it's come as you are. No one's too dirty. No one's too broken. No one's too depressed. That you're not too anything. You get to come to God just as you are because Christ died for you. God has demonstrated his love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. So we get to come to God just as we are. We might feel like that inner sanctum of our heart, that inner person, we might feel like it's like a broken down house and maybe it's like a real mess. But when the Holy Spirit comes, and the apostle is praying for people here that they'll know inner strength by the Holy Spirit, this renovative work takes place inside of our hearts. That Christ will make his home in our hearts. It's like this is a prayer for the warmth or openness or surrenderedness, that inside of us there would be a trusting environment in the inner person. Now, some homes can be really stressed out places. There can be a lot of tension inside homes. And that's true of our inner person as well. There's more than enough who know genuine internal tension, feeling a sense of being torn between whether they're going to do what's right or not. The apostle, same apostle Paul, wrote about it in Galatians 5:17, where he said, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. So you are not to do whatever you want. Like, there's boundaries that are established. And this is part of what happens with the Holy Spirit giving us inner strength. Boundaries are formed. Not only boundaries that are moral, but also boundaries around thought. It's like we get formed from the inside. We are perpetually a work in progress. I am a work in progress, and you're a work in progress as well. As long as you've still got a heartbeat, as long as you're still breathing, you are a work in progress. So Christ is still being formed inside of us. The Holy Spirit is still doing that preparation work inside of us. Effectively, he's creating a great home for Jesus in our inside person. Now he goes on in verse 17, not only then Christ will make his home in our hearts as you trust in him, he says your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Now this is really fascinating. This is a little discovery for me, where he says that your roots will grow deep down into his love and that they will keep you strong. He uses a botanical word there, that our roots, that we would be rooted. But also then he says, other translations say that we'd not only be rooted but grounded in his love. But the word there for grounded is actually an architectural word. It's to do with having a foundation, so that we will have deep roots into the love of God and that we'd have a foundation in his love as well. Some other translations kind of pick up this nuance of the botanical word and the architectural word. Let me give you a couple of examples. And I pray that your love will have deep roots. I pray that you'll have a strong foundation. Or in the Good News translation, I pray that you may have your roots and foundation in love. That word foundation is exactly the same word that Jesus used at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Whoever hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise person who builds their house on a rock. And they've got that rock as their foundation. Matthew 7:25. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. It's the same word. So that you would be, that you'd grow your roots down deep into his love, and you'd have that love as a firm foundation. Now, the combination of those two words, I find actually absolutely fascinating. The apostle is praying for you and I, as he did for the Ephesian Christians. He's praying that we will know the reality, because when our roots go down deep, well, that's certainly how a deeply rooted tree can stand in the storms of life, but the roots are also a source of life. So the love of God would not only hold our lives firm, but that'd be a great source of life for us. And indeed, it would be the solid foundation upon which we build our lives. It was Victor Hugo who said, "The greatest happiness of life is the conviction that we are loved, loved for ourselves, or rather, in spite of ourselves." Now, I would say that we are loved for ourselves, or at times, in spite of ourselves, because God actually does love us. He really does. Now, those of you who are parents, I'm a parent, I have four children, they're all grown up now. But those who are parents know the reality of loving your child, and it's got nothing to do with what they do, it's everything to do with who they are. In fact, sometimes in their brokenness, we actually love them even more. Because sometimes it's in their brokenness that they need to experience in an even greater way the support and strength of our love. Just think of your child trying to learn how to ride a bike and falling over, and they've got a grazed knee. They feel like they've failed at this great enterprise of learning how to ride a bike, and they're full of tears. What do they need? They need a good hug. They need a hug, and they need an encouragement. Come on, you can do it. Get back up. Have another go. And this love of God for us, and to know that we are loved, it is a source of life for us. And the apostle's praying about that for them. In verse 18 and 19, he goes on and he says, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand." Now, can you see what he's doing there? He's wanting them to embrace, not only to understand it, but to experience it. Now, sometimes we have to tell our feelings what we know. Like our feelings are free range agents. You know, they sometimes just do whatever they want to do. So sometimes we'll just wake up feeling down. And other times we'll wake up feeling fresh and feeling great. Like our feelings go all over the place. And probably from the COVID-19 season and the restrictions we've experienced in Melbourne, your feelings are maybe a little bit more inclined to be down. Well, sometimes we have to tell our feelings what we know. So tell yourself, "I am loved by God." For those of you who are maybe longer term committed with Crossway as your spiritual family, you'll know the turn of phrase, you are known, you are loved, your life matters. We built those phrases around the baptism of Jesus, where God from heaven said, "This is my Son, you are known, whom I love, you are loved, in him I am well pleased." Why? Because his life matters. You are known, you are loved, your life matters. And we sometimes need to tell our feelings what we know. We need to speak to our own inner person that which God has said is true. And the apostle wants to take them into those zones that they can understand the height, the depth, the breadth of the love of God. It's important. I actually don't think, I know he's using kind of a phraseology there, trying to get that sense of a 360 orbit of the love of God. But let's just break it down a little. I don't think that's unreasonable. The heights of the love of God. Certainly, it's at our times of ecstasy or great achievement, that those wonderful moments of prayer or worship, or it might be something that's happened in your life, and you are feeling great, and we can experience the love of God in the heights. But it's important for us to also realize we experience the love of God in the depths. Sometimes it's the depths of despair, the depth of depression, the depth of discouragement. Sometimes it's at the deepest places of life that we experience his love in a new and fresh way. It's like through the challenges of life, it's like God opens a door and ushers us into a space. We never, ever would have chosen to go into that space, but we're ushered in there and we experience his love in a fresh way, even in the depths of life. How about the breadth? He says that you would know the breadth of the love of God. And I would put into here the breadth of perspective or the breadth of experience. Now, Christians do really well to show grace to one another in our breadth of experience. With building a discipling culture, we're now working with 11 different denominations. And I am completely over Christians wanting to have a rumble on their theological distinctives rather than celebrating all that we have in common in Jesus. I'm just like, just tell me you love Jesus. Like all those other things, I can cope with the breadth of theological perspective. It's interesting, people sometimes get such firm convictions, and it might be very firm convictions about what Premier Dan Andrews is doing right now, and oh, you've got such firm convictions about that if someone has a divergent perspective from yourself, it's almost like you want to go to war with that person. And I say, no, come on. There is a breadth of the love of God, and it's breadth by way of perspective and experience. And then the length of the love of God. It is an enduring love. It is an eternal love. He will never, ever stop loving you. Even at your point of greatest brokenness, he will never stop loving you. And the apostle is praying for them that they would know this. And in verse 19, he goes on and says, "Then you will be made complete with all of the fullness of life and power that comes from God." Isn't it fascinating that the completeness, which is to do with maturity, it's to do with a well-roundedness, that this completeness that he brings to us is based out of a genuine understanding and experience of the love of God. That's a beautiful prayer for people, isn't it? As he concludes this prayer for them, he begins to eulogize God. One of my favorite verses from the Bible, another one. "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." I heard John Stott speak into this space, and he spoke of the sevenfold eulogy. So come on this sevenfold eulogy with me, because number one, he is able. He's a God who is able. And for some of us, we need to be reminded of that. You worship a God who is able. If you're journeying towards him, I want you to know this. Number one, he is a God who is able. Number two, he's able to do what we ask. And he really is. Whatever you would ask, he is able. Number three, he's able to do what we would ask and think. Because sometimes we might think some things, but we're not prepared to ask them. Number four, he's able to do all that we would ask and think. Not just what we'd ask or think, but all we'd ask or think. Number five, he is able to do more than all we'd ask or think. Number six, he's able to do much more than we would ask or think. Number seven, he's able to do very much more. I love the translation that says exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all we could ever ask or hope for. This is the God that we worship. This is the God that we worship. How are you going with him? How are you going with him? How are you journeying through this season? Allow this prayer from the Apostle Paul to be a prayer that touches your heart, a prayer that brings you closer to God, a prayer whereby he's able to say over your life that Christ will make his home in your heart. He says, I pray for you that from his glorious and unlimited resources that he might empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. Allow that to be real in your own heart, that your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. Yes, make it real. That your life is founded on the very love of God. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to fully understand. But he wants us to experience it. He prays that we would experience it. Then you will be made complete with all of the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who's able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Allow that to be a prayer over your life today. And I end with how I began. How are you going? You're doing all right? Allow the Holy Spirit to bring inner strength to you, that Christ can have a great home in your heart, and we can press forward together, built, rooted, and founded on the very love of God. Let's look towards tomorrow with confidence because of the Lord Jesus. God bless you.